the theme of this service is praising while paying your taxes. And I will get to the point why we can praise while paying our taxes. Well, one thing is for sure, we like to give and to receive. There is a real joy in giving and sharing. We love giving things to others, love giving presents to people we hold dear to our lives. We love helping people, loving what we have. But we only tend to give happily and cordially if it fancies our own desires or our way of thinking. But how do we act if we have to give things for things that we, well, are not very sure about the outcome, about the usage? In the Netherlands, in this country, you have to fill out your tax form before the 1st of April of this year. And when that blue envelope arrives to the mail, people's hearts are getting panicked and scared. Well, you're not jumping for joy. There is not an excitement on your face because you have to pay your taxes. We dread it because we give money, and money we could better spend in the way we seem fit. Going on a holiday, doing things we like with the money we received. Today, this morning, I would like to search through scriptures with you and see that God can touch our hearts in a very incredible way. That we can even praise Him when we have to pay something so dreadful as paying the government its dues. Being able to give and being able to share, that should make us able to praise. And we will see why this morning. Do you often feel forced to give? Just remember the Jews in the day that Jesus walked upon this earth. They've been forced to pay the Roman occupiers in the land. Giving something of your money to those dreadful occupiers of the land. Why? Why give money to those occupiers? Just listen how in scripture is taught about those tax collectors who take money for the government of Herod and also from the Romans. Listen in Matthew 9, verse 11, where it says, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples of Jesus, Why eat your masters with the publicans and the sinners?" People who collected the taxes were lower than low. They were considered like harlots. They were worse than a leper. You won't deal with people who collect taxes for such a terrible government as that. Giving taxes is seen as a curse, as something terrible. And we don't like to pay our taxes. Some people see it even as a form of stealing. They take away the money that I have and I have to pay a government far away who's going to do all kinds of things with the money that I don't really like. But the government is mandated to ask us for a part of our money, for the time that we spend and the talents that we have. And every day we pay the government. You might not always know this, but if you pay the electricity bill, if you go to the shop and buy your groceries, you pay the government every time. And why do we do that? We do that because we fear what the government might do if we don't pay our taxes. If you don't pay your taxes, you will get a fine, and after several fines, maybe you will get even imprisoned. We feel and we pay our government out of fear. We are forced to give the government for what the government can do to us if we don't hearken their commands. And still, brothers and sisters, still we can praise while paying our taxes. I will come to that later. The Pharisees, they knew the perfect way to trick Jesus when concerning taxes. We know the text about Matthew 22, about when Jesus and the Pharisees were dealing with each other and the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus. Because the Pharisees knew the burden that the Jews had to bear from the Roman government. Brothers and sisters, why is it so hard for us to give? Some people want to give money to the things which they themselves feel fit, when they themselves feel just. Then they themselves say, well, this cause the holy cross and this cause, well, I don't agree with that cause, so I will keep the money for myself. We're not only having difficulty paying the government, sometimes we have difficulty in giving for other more worldwide causes, like setting things aside for the advancement and growth of God's kingdom, His work, and His church. Well, back to those Pharisees and Jesus. They came to Him and they said, well, Matthew 22 verse 17, tell us therefore, the Pharisees to Jesus, what do you think is? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Well, we can fill in Caesar also with other words. Is it lawful to give to God's word? Is it lawful to share the good news of the gospel? Is it lawful to do this or lawful to do that? And we say to ourselves sometimes, why we give? Why share if I can't do it on my own, on the way I think it's best, in a way that satisfies my own inclinations? Sometimes we give, but we give with an agenda. Well, as long as the church does what I want, I give. But if they go in a way that isn't against my own inclinations, my own way how I interpret the Bible, instead of what the Bible teaches me, I withhold or I will do my own thing. Well, we know the story of Jesus and the Pharisees. And He said to the Pharisees, well, Matthew 22 verse 20, the last part, render unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Jesus clearly demonstrates it is not unto us to make up to what we give or not, by way of our own choices, to us we give the most honor to. It's a mandate. The government, who does things we don't always like, has a mandate. Christ, who did everything for us, do we also feel a mandate from Him? So, what is our motivation to give and to share? We all know throughout scriptures we see that the Lord asks us to be a good and faithful stewards. In a kind of way, the Lord is asking the same of us as what the government does. The Lord asks us time, the way we go around with our talents and our resources, our gifts, and our money. Or better said, the Lord asks us to give back the time He gave us, to give back the talents and gifts He gave us, to give back the money He gave us. But there is one important difference between the mandate of the government, the institution of the day, and the kingdom of God. If you don't or are not faithful in these things, you are not thrown directly into prison. There is no forced giving. We give out of love, out of respect, out of honor. But there is no force saying, well, if you're not paying, I will put you into prison. If you're not giving your offering this Sabbath, well, next Sabbath you have to pay 200% more of your offering. It's different in the church. We're not feel forced to give. So, with what motivation do we give? Do we give because we want to feel safe from harm? Do we give because we feel some kind of punishment if we don't? Why are we here in church? Out of fear? Why do we give? For the same reason as the government asks for our taxes? Are we here to give in church to declare the best giver of the church? Are we here to say to others, look at me, I'm the best giver in this church and nobody can beat the amount I will put in the offering basket? We give him because we need him every hour. We give because we love him and want to see the advancements of his cause, not our own. We praise him by giving him our time, our talents, and even the money. We tend in our lives when we fill our baskets in the supermarket with groceries and good stuff, sometimes we forget who blesses us each and every day. Even when we have a bad day at work, even though we have to work overtime in the last shift, in the end we get everything from our Lord Jesus Christ. We get him enough, the first fruits from him and the increase. And truly, every Christian knows that we are blessed beyond imagination, beyond belief. And yet, we are not always seeing it, not always experience it. But be for sure, it's there. Just remember, in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were walking and they came into the gates of the city and they were seeing some lame person at the gates, the city gates. And this person said, help me. And then in Acts 3 verse 6 it said, then Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but such I have, I will give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man was asking for alms. It was asking for money, something that could sustain him. But Peter and John didn't have physical money, but what they did have was the word of the Lord. What we have, we can share. Do we have the Lord in our lives? Can we be that true blessing to our households, our own church, to the community at large? Yes, we can even praise while paying our taxes. Why? Because what we have, we can give. If we don't have money, we can share the message. We can share our faith in Jesus Christ, that he dwells in our hearts and minds. That accounts more than euros we have in our pockets. Just remember that old lady in the parable of Jesus that gives a little in the eyes of men, a little bit. People say, that amount of money that you give, it amounts to nothing. But she gave with a faithful heart. What she had, she gave. And she was good. So, do we see the need to give what we have? And that is beautifully illustrated in the psalm we read, Psalm 116. These words should inspire and inspire every Christian. For it says in verse 1 of Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, and therefore I will call him as long as I live. The Lord has heard your despair. The Lord has heard your cry. And he listens to us. The Lord and what his kingdom stands for did everything, everything to break the bonds of the fallen kingdoms of this world with the bondage of sin, and made a way to the light, a way back to Jesus, to the cross on Calvary. And when we cried that there was nothing in this world that really could satisfy us, there is nothing in this world that gives us rest, we noticed that Jesus was there and was able to give his all for us who don't deserve. It's because our heavenly priest is active and will come back soon as king. Is that fact that we can stay close to him. And Jesus wants to give. He wants to share that what he has and share it with his people, his followers, his disciples. And therefore it goes on in Psalm 116 in verse 3. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of the hell gates hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, and then I called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous is he. Our Lord is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. And I was brought low, and he, Jesus, he helped me. He helped me unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountiful with us. Because he delivered our soul from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from falling. And therefore we can walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord sacrificed for us. Because of fear? Did he sacrifice because of his own inclinations? He did it out of love for his children. He did it for us. Even though Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins, still the angels declared, this person will bring goodwill and peace towards all men. Jesus, during his time on this earth, gave his best towards us. He gave us everything we need, the imperfect example to live a Christ-like life. He had to face the cross and the grave, and still he gave. Still he said, not my will, but thy will, O Lord, will be done. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And the ultimate price he paid. And still he praised God. How do we react to the love of Christ? We pay our governments because we fear the punishment we will receive if we don't do what the government says we should do. If we don't obey their laws and regulations. But our motivation for God's eternal government should be a different one. We are giving because of love. We don't give our tithes and offerings because we, as it were, pay our way into heaven. We give because we love the way God's righteous government was good for the Hebrew children and was good enough for us. When the psalmist in Psalm 116 tells of the way how God helped him in his life, the only response the psalmist in 116 gave is the reaction in verse 12, when he said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all the benefits towards me?" What should I do towards the Lord for all those things he did for me? What are the benefits we are enjoying in our lives right now because of what Christ has done for us? Do we see the joy of our family and our homes? Do we see the joy of having a church family, a place to worship and together? Do we see the blessings of the studying of the scriptures? For teachers and pastors who break the bread together with us and sharing those wonderful truths out of the Word of God. What was the reaction of the psalmist about seeing the benefits he experienced of the Lord? Verse 13. "I will take the cup of thy salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people." Those four aspects. It starts with accepting the call, accepting the message, taking the Lord into your life, accepting him for all the good he wants to do in your lives. And then you respond by acknowledging his kingdom and his righteousness, and out of love and not out of fear. And then we start paying our vows, or better said, we become good and faithful stewards. And not tomorrow, and not starting on the new earth and the new heaven, but now in the presence of all God's people. Do we act? Do we act out of love? Give to the Lord which we receive from our Lord, our time, our talents, and even our money. There was a song on the radio station that I had a couple of years ago, and this song we played a lot because the words were especially resounding towards me, and I want to read some lyrics. It says the following: "Lord, I know that I'm in your perfect will, realizing as ungrateful as I've been, the giving you has removed all my sin. I vow to never be the same. I give you my heart, my mind, my soul, my praise, my body." Romans 12 verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, unto God it is, present your bodies living sacrifice, holy which is your job, unto God it is your job, to give him everything, every part of you, so I give you my heart, my mind, my soul, my praise, my money. It all belongs to the Father, and I'm all giving it to you." Do we truly realize that God gave his only begotten Son? He used all his resources to save us. Why do we hesitate to give the best of our talents to him? We spend more time on the couch looking at the TV screen than kneeling with our brothers and sisters during a prayer meeting. Why do we want to stay longer in bed on Sabbath morning than on any other day of the week while we can spend time here in morning worship during the Sabbath school? Do we realize that all what we got, that we are, and that we do is because of Christ? How we spend our lives, how He snatched us from the wages of sin and brought us to life. Why do we feel so downcast? Why do have we a face of this depression, as it were, even though that the Lord promised us that we can praise His name even if we have to pay our taxes? Well, we pay the government because the government has a mandate, and if we don't pay, we're fined. But we, brothers and sisters, if it's really so, if we believe it really so, we belong to a better kingdom. Amen. We belong to the kingdom of Christ. This kingdom is being set up right now. There are places in heaven. Homes are being set up right now. The kingdom of God is here at hand. And the question to us is, to which kingdom do we belong? Jesus said that we have to give Caesar's to what is rendered Caesar's and God to what is rendered God's. But do we feel to give to God's kingdom? How do we give? Why did Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, the following? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he soweth bountiful shall also reap bountiful. And verse 7, every man is giving according to the purpose he has in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity. How do we give? Do we give our times, our offerings, our talents, our gifts in the same way as we pay our taxes with a long face? Oh, I have to go to church today. I have to do all kinds of activities. Oh, I have to set money in the offering plate and I want to buy that nice beagle during the week, but now our money is going to the offering plate. How do we give? Do we give grudgingly? Out of necessity? We know that this verse ends that God loves the cheerful giver. When are you cheerful in your life? We as vineyard stewards, we work in the vineyard of our Lord. We work not because we fear that what God will do to us if we lack, or that we are busy to pay us our way into heaven, as I said before. No, we should be real cheerful people. It should be a moment of praise and thanksgiving, the moment if we sing Bringing in the Sheaves. It should be one of the most happiest moments during the service. So, what kind of stewards are we? Are we like Adam? Are we like Abel? Giving our times and our talents, working in the vineyard of the Lord and seeing the beauty that the Lord has created, and being active therein? Or are we like Cain, working very hard, doing the things that are necessary, and then bring a false offering? Why? because we think on our own what is the best way to give offering and thanksgiving towards God. True stewardship is about the interaction of taking care of and giving proper honor to. Cain, he took care of the land, but he wasn't a good and faithful steward and servant in the way of giving worship. And when his offering wasn't allowed in the way God expected him, he thought God expected him to do, what was his reaction? He rejected the Lord and killed did the first murder. What did he do? He grudged. His actions were out of necessity and not out of gratitude about God's love, glory, and name. Are we this day those faithful stewards? The Lord entrusts us as Advent Christians with a lot of truth. We have been entrusted with the words of the Spirit of prophecy. We have a message of righteousness by faith. We believe in the sanctification process of every believer to grow up in faith, that we might have the faith of Jesus Christ. We have words in Scripture for this dying word. And why don't we have so much trouble to give him our hearts, our talents, our resources, and yes, even our money for the advancement and growth of his kingdom? And if we give, do we grudge? Do we feel so discontented that we cannot give what our hearts desire, and our reaction to the Lord is the same way as we react when we see the blue envelope of the government coming into our houses and saying, oh, I have to pay the government. I have to pay my dues. Instead of seeing what the Lord wants us to see, the advancement of his work, we only are thinking, I have to give and I have less to spend on the things I want to spend. And the question is, do we receive a lot? Yes, we do. What did Jesus say in the parable of the just and the unjust steward in Luke 12? For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. What did Jesus give us? Well, he gave his life, so that we might have life. And the psalmist in Psalm 116, he sang out how grateful he was to able to return that what the Lord gave him out of love, out of giving him our best. Why? For 16 of Psalm 116, O Lord, truly am I thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosened my bonds, and I will offer thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Thankfulness for all the benefits, all the things the Lord has done for us in our lives. And the only thing we can say, I will give sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise towards you. I will give all that you have given me back to you. Do we come to church only to take? They call it these days in the modern age, church age, consumer evangelism. You come to church and you consume like you go to a grocery. And when you've been consumed and you've been filled up, you say, I had a good service, I can go home now. Or do we also come to church to give, to fellowship, to interact with brothers and sisters? Or do we act just like the world likes us to have to act, to take matters into our own hands? Or do we lay everything on the foot of the altar and praise our Lord with the first fruits of our increase, with our time and our resources? This church isn't like some churches that ask for indulgences to pay, as it were, your sins away. This church isn't like some churches where the priest goes to all the parishioners, rings on the door and asks, what do you have to give for the work of the Lord? We act on basis of Scripture. And if you feel inclined, and if you see that the Lord has demonstrated His will in your life, then you react. You don't have to have a sword, as it were, on your neck to give. We give because we love Him. We don't do works to fall in favor with the Lord. We give, we praise, we worship because of Christ. On the cross, in the grave, in the sanctuary, He who did all so that we might live, have life and live it more abundantly, that we might able to be praised and give praise. He who made it able to pay our taxes. Jesus Christ. The Bible warns that if we misuse our talents, if we don't multiply them and honor God in a proper way, we would lose eventually everything. The Bible also clearly states that as we give, especially concerning tithes, we will be surely be able to pay our dues, our taxes, and to do all that is necessary to sustain ourselves and our fellow man. When Hezekiah sent forth revival to the land, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and removed all the statues of Baal, and removed all the false priests and false temples, what did he do? He restored the support of the Levites, the priests, in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. People gave. Why? So that might they be blessed by hearing the word and the law of the Lord. When people gave their tithes and offerings, so much came in that the chief priest Zadok said, since the people began to bring their offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord has blessed His people, and that what is left is this great store. There is blessing if you give, especially concerning tithe. More than we can imagine. And we know the text from Malachi 3, that if we give, we get more. Much more. Malachi 3 verse 10, where the Lord says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that ye buy me meat in my house, and I will breathe me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts. I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There is blessing in store. Great blessing. And the answer is, can we handle blessing? Do we put the things of the Lord first and foremost in our lives? Do we remove the attributes of false worship away? and give honor, proper honor to Jesus? Are we the members of the kingdom that just Jesus preached of? Do we want to see growth and advancement of his kingdom? Are we stewards, servants that give their all, so that we might receive bountiful blessings? Sometimes we worry. We worry about things in our lives. We worry about things what the Lord wants to do. If we can pay our taxes and pay our dues, and every time when the bills come in, oh, how can I pay the electricity bill? Oh, how can I pay the rent, my mortgage? But if we stay close to Jesus, then we have the same reaction of Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer these a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Do we call upon the name of the Lord? Do we give a heartfelt reverence towards him? The Lord listens to the prayer of the righteous. The Lord supplies us all with what we need. But first he asks of us to react to him in a proper way. Because the Father knows what we need. Matthew 6. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we be clothed? Don't worry. Because the Lord knows to supply our needs. God knows what we need. We need salvation. And Jesus came. We need a weekly rest, and we receive the Sabbath. We need justice, and we receive the commandments written in our hearts. We need a new home, and he gives us the new heaven and a new earth. We can praise because we receive what we need. We can praise while paying our taxes. So what should the reaction be when the government asks us each year to pay our taxes? Should the period around April be a period of downcast and despair? Oh, I see the blue envelope. Oh, how do I pay my taxes? Or should it be a moment of praise and thanksgiving? It should be a period of rejoicement. Why? Because we can see how the Lord has blessed us during the year, and that we are able to pay our dues and still be well off. Therefore Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the proper kingdom, the proper government, and all things will be added unto you. We should put the things of the Lord first in our lives. Our time, our talents, our resources. We should put the advancement of the proclamation of the gospel first and foremost in our lives. We should be glad and happy if we can give the best back to God, so that the kingdom might grow to his glory. We saw that we might be blessed if we give him a tithe and offerings. We learn that God blesses the cheerful giver. We learn that the right motivation is important. We give him our minds, our souls, and yes, even our money. We don't give it out of fear, but we gave because Jesus loved us. So don't despair when you see the envelope of the tax revenue service. We can still praise, because our minds are rightly focused on the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And the Lord will certainly bless us so much and so incredible that we can even pay the tax collector. Trust and believe God wants to sustain us until he returns. Amen. Amen.